Purple Red.
Okay, so if on the count of, I'm going to count to three, and then after, I'm going to do a countdown to three, and then after three, we do a sync countdown of one, two, three.
That's a count up.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Today is opposite day, Tom.
Okay, so you're going to go 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
And I'll join in on the 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Right, let's see if we can get this right in one.
All right, so I'll do it as where how it sounds to me, like I'm speaking at exactly the same time as you. I wonder if it'll sound delayed at all for you.
Ooh, okay, all right. Okay, so 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that wasn't synced up at all.
Was it not?
No.
Well, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be fine. If it's not, then we can just stop doing this podcast and realize that we're failures.
Well, at least we've got a plan.
Oh, God. Right, let's just start and see what happens.
Okay.
Oh, do you know what, though? It's fucking way easier typing up notes, like, on a laptop than trying to do it on your fucking phone.
I didn't even think of that. I've just done it on my phone again.
I was able to be like type like I was, you know, like a secretary in the 60s, like, yeah. And it'll come out so fast.
You're like wow. Hair tied up with a pencil and a fag on the go.
Yeah, a pencil skirt, the look of sexual harassment in my eyes, yeah. You know.
Fear in your eyes every time your manager walks past.
Yeah. Is that a stapler in his pocket or am I about to get bum raped? Who knows? Oh, God. All right.
Okay. Ready?
As I'll ever be.
Good. Hello. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read,
the podcast where we watch Brokeback Mountain in reverse just to see them get less gay.
The Christian way.
Yeah, put that in your Easter sermon. Right, so song time, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Order of the Phoenix. No matter what they say, we're gonna make it through April. Because it's gonna be May. Yeah, boy.
Oh, you did, got God. One so early on.
I know. Just for all our listeners, this episode, I'm hoping it's going to be like peppered with NSYNC references. So be prepared.
That's not NSYNC.
No, that's Scar from The Lion King, our favourite Nazi Disney character.
Now, do you think we should mention how we're recording this?
Yes, I have put a megaphone up against Tom's rectum and he is just speaking into the microphone. We're hoping that both will record on the same channel.
Yeah, it's a new technique. We're hoping it's going to pay off.
Yeah, because you can't spread coronavirus through rectums, we've found out.
Yes, through extensive testing.
Oh, God. No, we're recording it over the magic of Skype.
Yes.
But we're using our own microphones. So yes. We're going to try and sync them up. So if there's like 5 second delays in between me making a joke and Tom laughing, it's either because he hasn't synced it up properly or it took him that long to get it.
Yes, exactly.
Where have you gone?
Hang on, a light just switched off.
What? Have you got like a time, like a motion sensor light or something?
No, I don't know why it switched off. Just maybe it overheated or something.
Do you know what I hate is when like the circuit breaks. Do you know when like not the circuit breaks, when the fuse blows and the fuse box is always like downstairs. And if it's nighttime, so there's no light in the house and you have to get through the entire house in pitch black.
Yeah.
That frightens me a lot.
I mean, we have like phone lights now, but you know, back in Victorian times, that was a real issue.
I guess so, but if everyone had a gas lamp...
We used to have to get the candle out on this little Scrooge holder.
Oh, God, I'd rather just close my eyes and just stay in bed until the morning came. Like, I wouldn't want to risk it. Just in case there was, like, a little, like, Victorian child ghost, like, waiting for me at the bottom of the stairs. Like, oh, God. What? Has your light turned off again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry. Oh, maybe your light has corona.
Shit. Get out of here.
You get out of here. Oh, God. I hope everyone is staying safe out there, though. Make sure you... I mean, this is coming out towards the end of April. Will we ever be, like, out of lockdown by then, or...
We'll all be dead.
Yeah. So whichever, like, zombie survivor is listening to this, I hope you're having a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, if things are still going on, I hope everyone's safe. Hope everyone is coping the best they can. We hope we're making you laugh still. And if we're not, then why the fuck are you listening? So, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a while since we last recorded.
It's been a while. And
every time. And when we recorded last, it was in person because we were still allowed to do that. But yeah, we ended by saying that the shit is just mildly splattering the fan.
Yeah.
And it may have covered everything by the time the next episode comes out. And it somewhat has.
It very much has, I feel. Yeah. The shit has hit the fan and then someone's pressed like... the darkest button on the fan, which means it's going to go super fast. And then I'm covered in shit. The walls are covered in shit.
Is that why your camera's so dark?
Yeah, see, like, we've run out of toilet rolls. There's nothing to clean it off with, you see. Right, should we get this show on the road?
Yes. Chapter 33, Fight and Flight.
Yeah. What happens, Tom?
Well, they fight.
And then they take a flight.
Yeah.
On Virgin Airways, because that's the only one that's still running, apparently.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Oh, no, Harry and Hermione walk down to the forest with Umbridge in tow.
Yes. Like, heading towards Hagrid's hut, and she's like, oh, it's in Hagrid's hut, is it?
Yes, it's a fine establishment. Finest pint of dog piss, and yeah, you get a free garlic bread. I mean, she's like, wonderful. What a great way to start this thrilling adventure. But yes, you boys and girls better sit in front of me. I don't want anyone attacking me from behind. And Harry's like, I doubt anyone's ever attacked you from behind, Miss. And she was like...
But it is a greater danger in Hagrid's restaurant, I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's that fucking dog. Oh, once it gets a whiff of fizzy sherbet,
that red lipstick's right out. Yeah. So, yeah, no, they go, no, you silly bitch, it's in the forest.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, okay, well, you two better stay ahead of me then.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, well, can we have your wand then if you're making us go in first? And then she's like, no, I think that my life is a lot more valuable than yours.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Wow.
That's unexpected, actually. That's a new level of darkness I didn't expect from her.
Well, she was about to use the Cruciatus curse on Harry.
That's very true, and it did turn out that she's the one who killed his parents, so...
Or at least joined in the abuse of their corpses.
Yeah, Snape was like, Dolores, I've got a fresh batch. And she's like, oh, wonderful. Oh, Shazam straight over.
The Ministry never did know why the bodies were covered in sherbet when they found them.
But either way, Hagrid had a lick. Right, so...
he cut out his dib-dab.
Yeah, he put his licorice wand in the middle of that. And so they're getting deeper and deeper into the forest, and Harry's scared that Hermione's like going to accidentally lead them by Aragog's lair.
Yeah, she's being very noisy and is not going down the... I thought she was taking them to Grawp.
Yeah, but... that's what I thought too. I completely forgot about this entire bit. Because you know what I thought? Oh, we'll get to it, but yeah.
Okay. So we get centaurs.
We do get centaurs.
Emerging from the bush.
Yes, here they come to save the day. It's centaurs. That's their legion. It's Magorian and Bane. They're looking insane. It's centaurs.
We're going to be able to release an album of these after the series is finished, I think.
That'd be so sick. I mean, the amount of, like, copyright infringements that we get.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, so as they go further in and Hermione's being increasingly louder, an arrow flies through the air.
Oh, yeah, and sticks in a tree.
50 centaurs emerge.
Yeah.
From the bush.
Yes. And they, yeah, and they like, who
are you?
And Umbridge's
like, oh, so that's what that itch was. And Hermione's like, oh, she must have that charm on her vagina. You know the one, Harry? And he's like, yes.
The one with the centaurs, yes.
Centaurium vaginitis, they call it. When you sit on a dirty toilet bowl, sometimes you catch an infection. And 50 centaurs come out. Oh, fucking hell.
So, yeah, that happens. And the centaurs get their bearings and then realise Umbridge is in their forest.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, what are you doing here, basically?
Yeah, and she is predictably a massive bitch about it.
Yeah, she's like, I'm Dolores Jane Umbridge. I'm just senior undersecretary to the minister and headmistress of Hogwarts School. And he's like, ah, oh, you work with the ministry. And she's like, yes, and be very careful. By the laws laid down by the control and regulation of magical creatures, any attack by half-breeds such as yourselves...
And Bane's yeah, like, and calls them creatures of near-human intelligence.
Yeah, they're like, near-human intelligence. And then she's like, precisely.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, Magorian's like, our intelligence far outstrips your own. And then one of them goes, why are you here in our forest?
Yeah, so she's like, your forest? You're only here because the ministry grants you whatever, whatever. And then another arrow fires out of the bush.
Yeah, and then she's like, you filthy half-breeds! And then she magically ties ropes around Bane.
Oh yeah, Incarcerus.
Yeah, which I like that spell.
Yeah, me too.
It comes in handy, Tom. And then they all go, rah! Centaurs! And then they charge Umbridge.
Yeah, they all shout, Centaur!
And they hoist her up, and then they take her away, and then she's dropped her wand and Harry tries to reach for it, but one of them fucking treads on it.
And yeah. And then I can't remember what happens.
Well, one of the centaurs grabs Harry and he's like, oh, what should we do with this one? And then Ronan Keating comes back and he's like, they are young. Please leave them alone. And let's just go away. And the other one is like, excuse me? He's like, sorry. And it's like, this one is nearing manhood. Can you not see?
Look how close he is.
Oh, God, and mine is like, please don't hurt us. We only hoped you'd drive her away for us.
Oh, you hoped we'd do your dirty work for you, did you? You little fucking bitch.
You use that word a lot.
I have. I've used it about 10 times this episode already.
Should we invent a new word for it?
Yeah. Little cactus.
You little trolley wagon. There we go. And then they say that they might take them away to the forest. And then they say lots of things. And then we hear like, boom, 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 boom.
Does Grawp already have a theme tune? I don't think so.
Maybe like, boom, 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 it's Grawp. And everyone's like, oh, well done, Grawp. It's very inventive. But yeah, Grawp like parts the trees. He parts all the bushes. And he's like, Hagrid.
Yeah. And Hermione's like, I think he's looking for Hagrid.
Yeah, and he's like, Hermione, where Hagrid?
Yeah.
Want Hagrid.
And I was like, no.
Aww. Well, he doesn't want you. That's why he left Grawp. And he's like, oh, don't, that makes me sad. Hermione's like, oh, I like it when you cry. Only joking, Hagrid's dead. It's like, oh, no. Oh, Oh, God. And then loads of arrows hit Grawp in the face and it makes me feel sick.
Does it?
Yeah, because the arrows hit him and then he goes to wipe them away, but then it breaks the wood off the arrows, but drives like the points deeper into his face. And picturing that made me want to vom.
Oh, so, yeah. I don't recall that description.
Yeah, she's very explicit about it, and it was disgusting. And I thought, why would you put that in a children's book, you filthy, filthy animal?
You filthy, filthy half-breed.
Grawp, like, kind of bats the centaurs away, and they scatter, and then Harry and Hermione, like, make their way out of the forest.
Yeah, Harry and Hermione just run for it in the midst of all the chaos. And I sort of thought, oh, there's really, like, not that much reason for Grawp to even be in this book, is there?
Oh, I thought the same thing, like, at all, because he doesn't... This is the... It'd be different if he was the one who got rid of Umbridge.
Yeah, I thought he played a bigger role in the getting rid of Umbridge.
Same. I remembered him being, like, there, and then so for him just almost be almost ineffectual. I guess he does get rid of the centaurs in that moment, but it's kind of a bit, like, pointless in a way.
They could have found another way to get out.
Yeah, and I think he should have played, like, a bigger part in other books then, maybe, because he does show up at the end of Half-Blood Prince, and then in the final battle in book 7, but it's kind of like, what is the point?
Oh, does he? Well, Grawp does.
Yeah, he shows up in the last battle when he goes to Dumbledore's funeral in book 6. Yeah,
for sure. Dumbledore would have appreciated that.
Grawp's like, Dumbledore's the only man who showed me any kind of kindness. And Hagrid's like, what do you mean, Grawp? Like, well, he showed me affection, if you know what I mean. Hagrid's like, ah, yeah, he liked to show a lot of people affection, he did. Great man, Dumbledore.
Great man. Wouldn't hurt a fly.
So as they emerge from the forest, they see all the others, the DA from that were captured in Umbridge's office, running down to them.
Yeah, they're a little bit battered up, but they're all... proud and full of themselves because they fucking fought off, you know, Malfoy and etc. Only thing I can remember is they all cursed them using their stuff they learned in the DA.
Yes, like the Jelly Legs curse.
Yes.
And the Jelly Badge curse. And the Jelly Peen curse.
Yes.
Lots of jelly curses.
The Jelly Fingers.
Jelly Spine.
Jelly lips.
Jelly rector. And Malfoy's like, wow, this makes things so much easier.
Thank you. Please head down to the forest with your friends.
Don't boys no criminal. So, yeah, like, Harry's like, look. Oh, they give Harry and Hermione their wands back. And Harry's like, I don't know how we're going to get to London.
Oh, yeah, and Luna's like, we can fly. And Harry's like, yeah, thank you.
Oh, he gets so on one, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And he also, like, before they meet them, he, like, scolds Hermione for that, like, shitty plan. Which I think is pretty harsh.
Harry, he needs to realise that without Hermione...
you'd be fucked.
Yeah, but so completely... I'm trying to think of at what point in this book it all would have gone wrong without Hermione...
I can't remember the beginning of the book now.
Yeah, I mean...
feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, they wouldn't have even got... Well, put it this way, they wouldn't have got down to the forest at all. They would have still been in Umbridge's office and he would have been on the floor writhing in pain.
Well, to be fair, they wouldn't have been in Umbridge's office in the first place because it was Hermione's plan to break in there the second time.
Was it?
Yeah, because she said we need to go and check Grimmauld Place before we run off to the Ministry.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he would have just gone straight to the Ministry on his own.
Yeah.
And then been killed, I guess.
Yeah.
And this would have been a 5-book series. alas.
But alas, it's 7.
Yeah, and then Harry gets on one, and Neville was like, look, we're all in the DA together. Like, what's the point of learning that stuff if we weren't going to, you know, use it to fight you-know-who? Or was you just chatting shit that entire time?
Yeah.
And Harry's like, oh, he couldn't think of, like, out of all the people he would have chosen to join him from the DA, these three would have been at the bottom of his list.
Yeah. And which, like, I get it for Neville and Luna. For
but
Ginny,
why? Like, because Neville's been good, and like, Luna's been good the entire time in the DA, and obviously he knows that Ginny's like a little bit of a firecracker. What, she is?
Yeah. She's a right little firecracker.
Yeah, and then Ginny's like, oh, Harry, every little thing I do never seems enough for you. You don't want to bring us again, but we're not like them.
Is this NSYNC?
Harry, when you finally get to trust somebody, guess what? It's gonna be me. And Harry's like, wow, what a timely reference.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, time is very much of the essence, but I'm glad we sat there and listened to a whole sort of chorus of that.
Yes, I'm sure that Sirius would appreciate that. That if we couldn't save him, at least we got introduced to NSYNC.
Yes.
And then Luna's like, yes, like, we should fly. And Ron is like, we can't fly. We ain't got any fucking brooms, you stupid cow.
You stupid, what was it, trolley wallop or something?
It wasn't, but I like that more. Trolley wallop.
So Luna says, oh, we could fly on them. And Harry turns to see two thestrals emerged from the bush.
Yes. And Hermione's like, ah, see, that's what can happen when you get a secondary infection. It's like when you get shingles after having chickenpox, you see.
All the woodland creatures.
Yes, they're all horse derived. Oh, God. And Luna's like, we can use thestrals because, and Hagrid said they're very good at finding things.
Yes, knowing where their riders want to be taken and finding it.
Yeah, so Harry, like, protests them all going again. And they're all like, no, we're all going to go. And Harry's like, well, there's only two.
Fine, pick one. Oh, yeah. And then they're like, well, more will come. You and Hermione are all covered in blood.
And then more do appear. One starts licking Harry's pee-pee.
Hermione's like, now's really not the time, Harry.
And Harry's like, oh.
He's like, look, we sat through a whole chorus of NSYNC. We've got time for this.
Yes, this is a tertiary infection. Once more appear, Harry's like, fine, everyone pick one and let's all get on.
Yes, so they do, and they do.
Yeah, and then we go straight into chapter 34 of the Department of Mysteries. Ooh. Spooky, spooky.
Yes.
Yes. That's the password to get in. You knock on the door and say, spooky, spooky. Swings open. Sorry, Tom just yawned. And I'm like, wow.
I laugh yawned.
I yawned.
Yes. I yawfed.
When you said that, I just pictured like a mutated giraffe and I was like, wow. That's just what came into my mind when you said it.
What, a yarf?
Yeah.
Look at these giraffes and, oh, look at the yarf.
Yeah, it's one that has just like super long legs but a tiny, tiny neck.
So he's actually the same size as the rest of them.
So yeah, they all get on the thestrals.
Yes.
And they fly up high. Oh, Harry says to them first, sorry, yeah, take us to Ministry of Magic in London.
Yes. And how they thought that this would be a preferable method of transport, flying from Scotland to London, rather than running back to the castle, going back to Umbridge's office now that there's no one in there and no Umbridge, and flewing to London.
That's a very good point.
I mean, how fucking stupid.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah, because her fire would have gone straight to the ministry.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was just... Yeah, because it wouldn't have been faster even doing it like this.
No, it would have been a lot... Scotland to London is a fucking long way.
Yeah, and even because like the festivals are like super fast, it seems.
Yeah. But there's mention of like Harry didn't, you know... with only the ground to reference how high they were and how extremely fast they were travelling.
I guess maybe they didn't... I was going to say maybe Harry didn't know that you could flew there, but he has been inside the ministry during, like, rush hour, so he would have seen... He did see people appearing in the grates.
Yeah.
So he did know. That's a very good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Or even flew powder to Grimmauld Place and work it out from there. You're in London.
Yeah, or just gone to Grimmauld Place and then Sirius would have heard them arrive. Yeah. And it all would have been fixed. And they would have just all sat down. He would have made him each a cup of hot chocolate. They would have discussed the frivolity of the day and then gone back to Hogwarts and everyone would have been fine.
Yeah. How are we going to get there?
Yeah. It's just Harry. Do you know what? I bet, like, in actuality, Luna said, actually, maybe we should flu powder back to him. But he's like, no, no. How are we going to fly there is what I asked.
It's more dramatic. It makes for a more cinematic scene.
Yes. I love flying on lizard horse things. And Luna's like, well, suit yourself. You could always use Thestrals. Oh, God.
No, I want a flare horse. And use its skin as wings. Oh, Harry.
No, I want to all sit here and figure out the rules of aerodynamics. And I want...
This is the quickest way.
So yeah, they rocket into the air, they speed along, and the sun sets as they go on.
Yes, and they land in London at night. Oh yeah, and then they get to the telephone box and Harry remembers the code after like a year.
That's true. I thought that was a bit odd.
Yeah, and only hearing it once. I mean, unless he worked out that the numbers spell out.
I doubt, because you would have to, I think you'd have to be looking at the keypad when he was doing it to even think of that.
Yeah. And yeah, he's only heard the number, he's only heard that number once, just when Arthur typed it in, when he had also a lot on his mind at that time.
Maybe Arthur said like a jingle when he did it. So maybe. He was like, 0800 00 1066. And Harry was like, ah. Oh.
Yes, Hastings Direct.
So yeah, the phone box is like, what are you here for kind of thing? And Harry's like, well, it's Harry Potter, Luna Lovegood, everyone's name. We're here to rescue Sirius Black.
So you need to actually say everyone's name or I can't issue them passes.
Ginny's like, what about me? And he's like, I said everyone's name. Yeah.
You little firecracker.
You stand back there with the other trolley wallop. And then badges shoot out and he looks at his and it says, Harry Potter rescue mission. I was like, that's dumb.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, I was like, that's so ridiculous. So yeah, they land in the atrium. And it's deserted. There's cakes everywhere.
Oh, so wholesome. Nice. We'll keep that one. Put that one in the bank. Yeah, Harry notices there's no security guard at the point where he got his wand checked last time he was here, which he thinks is an ominous sign.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, is it on purpose then that it's as deserted as it is? You think it's been planned by the Death Eaters to be like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that. I'm not entirely sure why it's like completely deserted.
Because I did think what it would... Because it is... I've always thought how bizarre it is that there's no one fucking there.
Yeah.
So maybe it is that the Death Eaters had like arrived and like rounded everyone up.
Yeah, or maybe they've engineered it on a night where... Well, I was going to say where they know where they've got control of all the people who are supposed to be on duty.
Oh, as in like imperioed them and stuff.
Yeah, or got them on their books or whatever.
Oh, you that's know. A good point. Yeah. Okay, I think it's that.
But the flaw in that is that later on, they say that Voldemort's been giving you these visions of this corridor, Harry, because they thought you'd be so curious about the contents of the prophecy that you'd want to come and check it. You'd come and check it out immediately. And so, if Voldemort's been trying to lure him there for months, he could have turned up on any night.
That's very true, actually.
Hmm. Yes. Plot holes. Hmm.
Yeah. Plot holes. More holes in a block of Swiss cheese, Tom. Oh, God. So they get in the noisy lift and they go down to the Department of Mysteries. Ooh. Spooky, spooky. And they arrive.
Yes, they give
there.
The password. what do? They get into...
Oh, sorry. Harry tries to make the others stay behind again.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, mate, at this point, just fucking accept that you have friends and they're going to help you.
Yeah, just accept that you've brought this whole group of people to their death.
Yeah. Accept that you're no better than Hermione. So, yeah, they go through the door at last that Harry's been dreaming about for 25 years. And yeah,
for
they 25 open it.
25 years.
They go through and it's this circular room that's all black.
Yes, that Harry has also been dreaming about. And in his dream, he just goes straight across the room and goes into the door opposite. But in real life, he's like not so sure. And he tells them to close the door behind him, which it turns out to be a mistake. Because the room, the walls and with all the doors on them fully spin around. And you got no bloody sense of which one to go through, which one to come back through or anything.
Yeah, because one of them goes, oh, how are we supposed to know which door we came through? And Hermione's like, I think that might have been the idea. Says, now we won't know. And they're all like, damn, son. And
it's a mystery. Spooky, spooky mystery.
Oh, this door's all sticky. So they open one door just to like check it out, and there's a glass tank in it.
Oh yeah, full of what looked like weird sort of sparkly,
jumping
fleshy coloured
fish.
Jumping jellyfish.
But no, on closer inspection, it's fucking brains.
Fucking brains. Shitting hell.
So they all do a leap back, and Hermione slams the door. No, yeah. She goes to slam the... No, Ginny goes to shut the door, and then Hermione's like, hold on! And then she makes a fiery X on the door, so they know.
I thought it was
one.
Luna who marked the door.
No, it's Hermione. Oh. Luna's probably the one who goes to shut it, then. And then Hermione goes, wait, hold on.
Oh, okay.
As if it'd be any of the others who would think of doing that.
Well, I thought... That's what I sort of thought, oh, fair play, Luna, you are adding some value.
No, she's just there to be... Do you know if you're like in a group and you're trying to run away from something and you kind of want one of you to be a little bit slower than the rest? That's what Luna is.
I would have thought that was Neville.
That's true. Well, I guess two to be slower than the rest is even better.
Exactly. Two, yeah.
Especially if they're holding hands.
Especially if they're shackled together at the ankle.
Especially if you've nailed them to the floor with little white flags on them.
Yeah.
Oh god, so Hermione makes an X in the door, and as soon as they shut the door the walls spin again, but now because you put the X there they know which ones they've like tried already.
Yeah, exactly. And the second one they try is like a big stone amphitheater with a raised dais in the center.
Yes, it's
a
got
stone
archway
on it with a curtain hanging over the archway fluttering slightly as if there's a breeze.
Yes, and Harry goes up to the archway and he feels like there's someone on the other side of the veil.
Yeah, he gets all, like, hypnotised by it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets a big urge to walk through, and he can hear whispers through the other side. And he's like, what's that? And it's like, lick him. Taste his anus. And he's like, I've heard that once before.
Dumbledore?
And he's like, surprise! And all the lights come up, and they're all like, Cilla Black, surprise, surprise. And he's like, wow! I was not expecting this. Was you expecting this? I wasn't expecting this.
These visions I've been having all year. Yes.
She's like, surprise, surprise, Harry Potter. That's not her accent at all. What is Cilla Black's accent?
I think, isn't she Scouse?
I think so. She's like, ta-ra, ta-ra, all right, love.
Ta-ra, love. Oh, that's like Northern, like Manchester. Is that Manchester or Yorkshire? I don't know. I don't think... All the North... All the northern accents kind of blend to me.
She's not that. Yeah, she sounds like Liverpudlian, I think. Yeah, because Brookside's in Liverpool, you said. So Coronation Street's in Manchester.
Fucking Brookie.
Do you know what I was thinking about? Do you remember in Brookside there was that whole storyline where the brother
I've
and
never
sis-
watched an episode of Brookside.
Oh, it was so good. So there was this posh family that moved in once, right? And they had these... they had two children called Nat and Georgia. And it turned out that Nat and Georgia were, like, sleeping together, and they were brother and sister.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was so... And then...
I'm hooked. Get me the box set.
Oh, God, but yeah, it was so gross. And in the end, I think they ended up moving away so they could be together.
Wow, yeah. What a resolution.
But But yeah, anyway, Hermione's like, Harry, come on, we need to go. And he's like, yeah, just give me a second.
I'm getting spooky in here.
So take off all your clothes.
Yeah.
And Luna's, I am getting so spooked, I want to take my clothes off.
Harry's like, hush now, Luna.
Oh, but Luna says, I can hear them too, Harry. I can hear them too, Harry. Now, that's the, what's her name, Cho's accent. What's Luna? Is she Irish?
Well, she's Irish in the film.
Yeah.
That was just because the actor was Irish, wasn't it?
I can hear them too, Harry.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, nailed it.
And then Hermione really fucking gets on one because she's like oddly like perturbed by it. It's a bit weird, actually.
Yeah, she's all freaked out. She's like, Harry, no, don't. There's something weird about it. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And she like drags him away, basically.
Yeah, so they go back up the stairs.
Yep, they go back up. And the next door they try in the circular room is locked. Alohomora doesn't work, and then Harry tries Sirius's knife, and it melts the blade away.
Yeah, I think that's the room that has love in it, from what I remember her saying afterwards.
Hmm.
Because there's a room that they keep on studying, but they can't understand it, and that's the room that contains the essence of love in it, and I think it's that
interesting
one. Yeah.
Well, is it?
I think it is. I imagine they open it up and it's kind of like, it's going to sound gross when I say it, but I mean it in the most beautiful way you can imagine. But do you remember that South Park episode where Stan discovers the talking clit in the forest?
Yeah, isn't that the movie?
Oh, it might be, actually. Because Chef tells him to, like, you need to find the clitoris.
Find the clitoris, son.
And he finds it. And then the clitoris is like, hello, Stan. I am the clitoris. I imagine it's like that in the room. The open, it's just the giant pink clit. Go, hello. I am love. You may ask me 3 questions. And they're like, okay, 1, where are you? 2, how do I best stimulate you? And 3,
is squirting a myth?
So yeah, they leave that one. Hermione puts the X on it.
They're not going to get it. So it can't be the one that Harry always goes through, because otherwise they'd be able to get through it.
Yeah. So they go into the next one and they see lots of clocks in the room. There's a crystal bell jar at the far end of the room.
Yeah, and Harry's like, yeah, this is it.
This is it, guys. Like Michael Jackson, this is it. Do you remember that? No, okay. No. Now, do you remember his last tour was going to be called This Is It?
No.
The documentary film about it, when it came out, was called This Is It.
No.
But in the film, he used to go, so guys, like, this is it, you know, this is it. He used to say that a lot.
Huh.
And he also used to sing songs in it as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
No.
I know, who would have thug? I just thought he put his fingers in children. Oh, God. But inside the bell jar, there's a Fabergé egg that splits open and a bird comes out, a hummingbird, that goes to the top of the bell jar and then gets old and comes back down again and goes back inside the egg.
Yeah, just round and round on a loop.
Which I thought that was pretty amazing. That's my favourite bit of this entire book, I think, is the description of that, because I think it just sounds so pretty.
It's a nice description. Don't know if I'd go as far as to say it's my favourite bit of the whole book.
My favourite bit of the whole book is the bit with the bell jar, because it looks nice. And JK's like, oh, well, I'm glad I made you happy in some way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I won't sign this book, but I'll give you my best wishes.
Yeah, I'll say best wishes, but I won't write it. That way there's no evidence that I ever actually gave you my best wishes.
Oh, God, so they go through the door behind that, and then they see loads of shelves.
Yeah.
Tall ones, Tom.
Yeah, so they head towards row 97. And he says, like, Harry's like, there should be somebody there. He's right down the end. Let's go. And they make their way down. He's like, he should be here. And there's nobody there. And it's empty.
Yeah, and Hermione's
and he starts, like,
like,
running up and down the rows and stuff, trying to look for Sirius.
And then what does Hermione say, Tom?
I don't know.
No, it's nothing weird. I just want you to do the accent.
No, well, I haven't written down what she says. I don't know what she says.
She just goes like, Harry, I don't know. I'm just doing Cho over and over again.
Harry, I don't think he's here, mate.
He's like, no, he must be here. I saw him.
He's not here, Harry. You've led us all to our deaths, you fucking wanker.
This would have never happened on Brookside. And then Ron's like, Harry, mate. Harry, come here. He's like, I haven't got time for your tomfoolery, Ron. He's like, no, Harry, look. There's an orb here that has your name on.
He's like, yeah, it's one of the glass spheres. It says SPT to APWBD, Dark Lord and Harry Potter.
Yeah, and then Hermione and Neville were like, I don't think you should touch it, mate.
Yeah, and Harry goes to grab it, and Neville's like, no, Harry, don't. Because Neville has a sense about it for some reason.
Yeah, because Neville's a sensible young man. And Harry is uncouth and belligerent, in my opinion.
I mean, he is. He's definitely belligerent.
Oh, God. But he just goes, no, I'm picking it up. And so he does, and it feels warm.
Then they hear a drawling voice from behind them saying, very good, now turn around and give that to me.
Yes. And then chapter 35. We've gone through these very quick.
We have, but those are by far the two quickest chapters. Those two chapters are like less than half the length of this one.
That's very true. Oh, God. The essay that is fucking making notes for chapter 35.
Yes, but it's mostly just fight scene after fight scene.
Yes.
So I don't feel like we need to do a blow-by-blow account.
But blow-by-blow accounts are my favourite kind.
So the Death Eaters emerge all around them.
No, they haven't said what it's called.
Oh, it's Beyond the Veil.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so far away that anything with the veil happens.
I know. And really, it shouldn't be called Beyond the Veil. It should be called Sirius Through the Veil.
Sirius dies at the end of this chapter.
Sirius dies at the end of this chapter, colon, Dumbledore soon to follow.
Colon, Harry is the last Horcrux.
Yeah. brackets, he survives to the very end. And then those special brackets again, 19 years later, is proper shit.
All was well.
Yeah. And they all look terrible. Fucking hell. Yeah. We could all look like that when we get over to the other side of this fucking outbreak.
Yeah, although, I mean, we're not a million miles away from how old they are in the 19 years later bit. We're closer to that age than we are to their age to 17.
We're not going to look like that at 36.
No, they look like people in their sort of late 40s.
Yeah.
Or they look like young people who've had extensive makeup to look like people in their late 40s.
They look like a substitute teacher who's been teaching a boys' school in the East End during a recession. Yeah. Yeah, so black shakes appear out of nowhere.
Yes.
And Lucius asks for the orb again.
Yes. And Harry's like, where's Sirius? And he starts having a weird, fumbly, panic conversation about where Sirius is.
Yeah, and they all go like, ha ha ha. And Bellatrix is like, the Dark Lord always knows.
Yes.
He hasn't got a nose, but he always knows.
But he always knows. That's why he doesn't need a nose.
In fact, it's even better because he can get right up in close. Do you know what I mean, Potter? He hasn't got any nooks that would go in my cranny.
Yeah, she's all like, oh, little baby woke up frightened and thought what he dreamed was true.
Yeah. I can just imagine the panic that would set in at that point if I was Harry.
Yeah.
Like, just knowing what a fool I'd been.
Yeah. And it does, like, I mean, I kind of did get that sense that Harry was really, like, panicked, but he does, like, keep it together quite well, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, like, what else are you going to do?
Just fucking cry on the floor?
I think that's what I would have done, to be fair.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people would have done. Good job these guys are all Gryffindors.
Yeah. I would have just put my wand under my chin and been like, well, so long, guys. I've had a cadaver.
You're on your own, yeah. Here. I'm going to smash the prophecy so you've got no leverage. And best of luck to you.
But yeah, like Harry's still pleading for Sirius, and then Lucius is like, you need to learn the difference between reality and dreams. Anyway, Bellatrix tries to Accio the orb.
Yeah, and Harry goes, Protego! And just about manages to hang on to it.
Which just seems weird that you can Accio it, you know?
Well, only once it's been taken down from the thing, I guess.
If it is what it is, it should be, like, impervious to, like, magic in that way. I would have expected that, because I forgot that happened, so I thought it was weird when it did.
Yeah, I guess. And if the Accio spell is strong enough to, like, rip broomsticks from a wall that have been chained there... Mm. During this whole fight, they should have just been going Accio Prophecy over and over again.
I was thinking that, especially towards the end. I thought you should have just Accio'd it straight away.
Well, then maybe, can they, like, specify which... Because once all the prophecies are flying off the shelves, would they be able to specify which one they were casting a spell on?
If they just said Accio Harry's Prophecy.
Yeah.
And even if they didn't, if they just... Because Harry just says Accio Broom in Book 4 and his broom comes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, anyway, so Bellatrix is like, the boy knows how to play. And Lucius is like, I told you no, if you smash it.
Oh, she reveals herself as Bellatrix as well.
Oh, does she say she's Bellatrix?
No, but she takes her masks off and...
Oh, of course, yeah. And Harry's like, she was well fit, but looked kind of old. Are you in 19 years later? Oh, God. So Bellatrix is like, I tell you what, we'll torture the youngest one and everyone can watch until you give up the prophecy.
Yeah, and then Harry's like, no, I'll smash it.
Yeah, and Bellatrix doesn't move. And then Harry asks what kind of prophecy it is anyway. And Bellatrix is like, you jest, Potter. And I was like, no, I'm being very serious.
You'll know when I'm jesting. I'll have my motley hat.
Mostly I like to jest when I'm alone, you know. It can get very awkward otherwise.
Starts out as a jest, always end up spooky. If I'm very lucky, covered in puss.
So Harry says, how come Voldemort wants it?
Yeah, Bella gets all pissed that he used his name and...
Yeah, you dare speak his name, you filthy half-blood!
Yeah.
And I was like, I like when you do that in the movie.
It's like, she did the thing, guys.
Oh, man, it's my favourite bit. Oh, yeah, boy. And then Harry says, like, yeah, I do. And you know that he's a half-blood too, right?
Yeah, or has he been telling you lot he's pure blood? And then Bella's like, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, she goes to send a stunner and Lucius goes like, boing, and deflects it.
And it... Boing. He gets real aroused when Bella starts stunning stuff.
Yeah, so the spell hits two orbs. And they burst open and Lucius is like, my future children. No, they hit two orbs on the shelf that smash and two figures emerge uttering prophecies.
Yeah, and then Harry sort of keeps him talking, and he's like shuffling his foot over.
Yes, he's like, do you want to watch me do a dance? And he's like, dick, 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 dick.
Well, I mean, I'm all in the mood for being a jester now. Anyone got any juggling balls? These orbs will do.
Oh, God, so he's trying to buy time, and Lucius is like, Dumbledore never told you the reason you bear that scar lies in the Department of Mysteries. I put emphasis on weird words in that sentence. Do you know why? Because I was reading it out thinking it was, like, put a different way. Let me rephrase. So Dumbledore never told you the reason you have that scar lies in the Department of Mysteries.
Harry's like, I still don't understand. Could you say it again?
Dumbledore never scar told you Mysteries Reason Department.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Yeah, so he's like, smash shells to Hermione.
Yeah, tell the others when I say now.
Yes. And then Lucius says, the Dark Lord wondered why you didn't come sooner. He thought you'd want to hear the exact wording.
Yes, when he showed you where it was.
And Harry's like, why?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. Because Lucius tells them that prophecies can only be removed from these shelves by those about whom they are. Did that make sense?
Yeah, Lucius goes, the only people who can retrieve the prophecy are the ones about whom it is made. So yeah, and then he goes, haven't you ever wondered why Voldemort tried to kill you as a baby? And Lucius is like, well, we didn't want to pay the child support, you see. Oh, God. So Harry's like, why couldn't he get it himself? And Bellatrix is like, ah, don't make me laugh.
Get it himself, bloody walk into the ministry when they're all denying his existence while they're wasting all their efforts looking for my dear cousin.
Yeah, then Harry's like, no! And the DA sends curses in every direction.
Yes, smashing all the shelves.
Yeah, hey, crashy smashy.
Yes. Precisely. So they run. They manage to get through the door that they came through. Back into the time room, and Harry thinks that everyone's there, and they shut the door behind them, and Hermione does colloportus on the door, and then they realise that it's only Harry, Hermione and Neville, and the others must have gone another way.
Yeah, that's weird. Why wouldn't they all be heading in the same direction?
Well, it was all a bit chaotic, wasn't it? There's glass smashing everywhere and people zooming out of orbs and spouting prophecies. It's got to be disorienting.
I guess so. I guess it would have been hard to all go in one direction. So they were like, let's go in NSYNC instead. Ah, there we go. Yeah. I wish you guys could see Tom's reactions to my shit jokes. So they can hear the Death Eaters on the other side of the door, and they can hear Lucius organising them, and they're like, don't hurt the boy because he's got the prophecy. Kill the others if you have to.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so the three of them kind of hide in the room, and one of them just Alohomora's the door open.
Which made me think, what is the point in sealing the door then?
So they couldn't just bust through it? It bought them a few seconds, I guess.
Yeah, but like, the difference between pulling a door handle and then stepping back and going Alohomora. Because later in this chapter, they do the same. They seal the doors, and then the Death Eaters like bang into them and stuff. And so if you can Alohomora them.
Yeah. I wrote that exact same thing as well.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. But I guess like in that moment, the Death Eaters are like chasing them and on their tail. So they get through the room, get through the door, seal it, and then they all bash into the door. It buys them a few seconds to, like, hide, I guess.
I guess so. They should have sealed the door and then moved a bookcase in front of it. That would have been smart, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a bookcase? There are shelves with timepieces on them.
Yeah, if they just put a big clock in front of it. Do you know, if they'd paid attention in Transfiguration, they could turn anything into a fucking bookcase, then we wouldn't be in this situation.
That's true.
Or do you know what's even better, Tom? If Harry had just done his fucking occupancy lessons, they'd all be at home right now, fine.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Or even, you know, done the sensible thing and flew powdered to Grimmauld Place with a view to going to the ministry, and then Sirius would have been there, and then it'd be like, oh, it's fine.
Or do you know what really should have happened is after Harry had the snake dream, Hermione should have gone up to their dormitories and just killed him in his sleep. And then the next morning, they would be like, oh, no. And Hermione would be like, oh, God, I wonder who did this. And then they look over in the corner, it's the elf, and he's gone. She's like, oh, no, he's had it again.
Always killed the chosen one.
So, they get through the door, basically, and I wrote, fights ensue.
Yeah, there's loads of fights. There's loads of stunning and shit.
Yeah, I think the only like sort of notable bit is like the bell jar baby head.
Yeah.
Scar band.
Bell jar baby head.
Oh, good. What could our song be? I don't know. Like, it's the bell jar baby head. You better listen to what I said. You should have killed Harry in his sleep. And your lives you all will keep. There we go. Marnie's like, I think it needs a bit of work.
Also, I'm not sure about the accent.
I'm not sure about the accent, Ernie. Yeah. It's mine gets hit with a curse that gives her a big, like, gash across her chest.
Yeah, so after the... it's one that... It's Dolohov who has been silenced by Hermione. And he's, like, demanding the prophecy from Harry.
That's a weird curse to do. As in the silencing one. Why does she do that? Is it to stop him accioing the prophecy?
Stop him from casting any spells, I guess.
But if you can do mental ones, then why would you even need to talk?
or if you can do stunning or impedimenta, just do those.
Yeah.
Like, why vary it up with weird, like, only partially effective shit?
Yeah, do you know what? In this whole chapter, what I wondered is why the fuck is not everyone just all the time doing Avada Kedavra?
Yeah. One of the Death Eaters uses fucking Tarant Allegra on Neville to make his legs all jerky and random.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? He's just, this guy's just dueled with Moody and left him a bleeding mess on the floor. And what spell does he do on Neville? Oh, the leg dancey one.
It's like, oh, my favourite thing is to see a boy river dance.
Yeah, Antonin Dalahov. Traditional Irish name.
Well, my ma was a Russian spy, you see. But she fucking loved a pint of Guinness, I'll tell you that. Oh, God, and it turns out his mum and Seamus' mum are the same woman, and Seamus doesn't know his mum used to be a Russian spy. Fucking hell. That's why she killed his dad.
I like that his mum killed his dad is just canon now. And it was just like one little throwaway line in an episode about 5 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, Neville gets his nose broken and they have to get out of the room. So they carry Hermione away with them.
Yeah, Neville's felt her pulse to check that she's alive after her weird purple gash.
Yeah, Harry's like, Neville, I don't think her pulse is there. He's like, no. No, this is where
there's a pulse here. Takes an expert hand to locate it.
Yeah, this is the strongest pulse, Harry. This is how you definitely know she's not dead. Oh, God. So, yeah, they drag her into the circular room and shut the door. And then they...
Yes. Oh, yeah, and Harry gives... Neville Hermione's wand, because Neville's wand got broken at some point. When we hear that Neville's wand's broken, he says, "Oh, Gran's gonna kill me, that was my dad's old wand." I'm like, well, no wonder he's been shit at magic if he's been using someone else's wand this whole time.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Maybe in like books 1 and 2 he did have his own wand and his grandma's like, "Do you know what, you're so fucking shit at this, if I give you your dad's wand..."
He probably broke his original wand at some point.
Yeah, he probably was using it for things he shouldn't be and so it broke off. And he's still waiting to excrete the second half.
Some say it's still lodged in there.
Every time he burps, a spark comes out. There we go. He's up for a lark. He burps and he sparks. He's Neville. So yeah, when Ron and Ginny and Luna come through the door, Ginny like collapses against the wall. Ron is fucking high as fuck.
Yeah, all giggly.
Yeah, he's like, "Harry, do you know what? There was a room that was just full of all these plants and fucking hell, you should have been there."
I think you meant to write planets.
No, I was making a weed joke.
Oh.
Fuck off, Tom.
Well, they actually were in a room full of planets.
I thought that you was making a joke then, and then I saw that you weren't laughing. I was like, what?
Well, it would have been an easy typo to make.
Yeah, I kept on wondering why he was saying "I saw Uranus up close." I was like, wow, things just got real. But yeah, then they're like, no, I think Luna's like, "Oh, I think that Ginny's broken her ankle."
Yeah, Harry grabs Ron, he asks Luna to help Ginny, and Ginny's like, "I can do it by myself," and then promptly collapses again.
Yeah. And then Harry's like, "Look, you better get up, Ginny, because I've got no use for dead Wade." You know what I'm saying?
"We will leave you behind."
Yes, I don't want a wife with a limp.
And then Death Eaters burst out of another one of the doors.
Yeah, isn't it like Bellatrix and some other really bad ones?
Yes, the really bad ones. And so the gang run through another door. They end up in the brain room, and they start going around sealing all the doors with Colloportus pointlessly, because it can just be opened with Alohomora.
Yeah, they should have put, like, do you know those metal spikes they put in the road when they want to puncture a car's tires?
Yeah,
they should have put those on the other side of all the doors.
All right, has anyone got those metal spikes they put in the road when people want to puncture those tires?
Ron, your dad's into muggle shit.
You must carry those around with you all the time.
It's like, no, I've got a pocket full of defibrillators. She's like, ah, okay, let's see what we can do.
Yeah,
let's make this an art attack.
They're going around sealing all the doors, and as Luna gets owned by a bunch of Death Eaters coming through one that she's trying to seal.
Oh, yeah.
Bella screams to get Potter, and Ron's busy laughing at the brains, and then he Accios one of the brains, and it comes out stretching tentacles towards him.
Yeah, I really love the description of this, because Fry's like, not Fry, JK's like, tentacles came out of it that looked like ribbons of moving images. And I was like, that sounds like pretty beautiful.
Ooh, yeah.
Depends on what movie they're showing, I guess. Okay, is it Jaws 1, 2 or 3? Because that depends on how I feel about this.
Yeah, yes. If it's any of the early Harry Potter films, count me out.
Out of service, out of Africa, I'll never hang about. This plan is getting wildly out of wing. And then Ron looks to the others and he's like, hey, hey. And Harry's like, I just can't wait to be king.
They're like, Ron, how do you know that song?
But yeah, the tentacles like wrap around Ron and make him all spooky.
Make him all spooky. Ginny gets stunned by the Death Eaters. And then Neville starts trying to stupefy them, shouting stupefy, waving Hermione's wand, and nothing's happening.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Me neither.
Do you think maybe the wand hadn't had time to get used to him or something?
Maybe, but then they, at various points, people use other people's wands. Maybe Neville's just that inept, but then he has been getting a lot better.
Maybe because his nose is broken and his pronunciation at this point is so fucked that that's why it's not
maybe.
Working. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's not. Maybe Harry didn't actually give him a wand. He just gave him like a broken chair leg. He was like, here.
Here, wave this about. Useless piece of shit.
So Harry does a quite sensible thing and tries to draw the Death Eaters away from the others.
Yes, praying that Neville will just stay there and take care of Ron and Hermione and the rest and try and get them out or something.
Yeah. So he heads back into the archway. Not into the archway room. I guess it is the archway room.
Yeah, I guess. Where he reaches another... He goes just out of one of the other doors of the brain door, and then the floor starts to move down, and he ends up in the stone room with the arch and the veil.
So are they all, like, interconnected then?
Seems like it.
Okay.
Just go through enough doors, you'll get where you want to go eventually.
Yeah, that's good life advice.
Yeah. Actually kind of is.
Yeah.
Burst in on enough people and you'll see some real good shit.
Oh god. So yeah, Harry gets up to where the dais is and they surround him.
Yes. Potter, your race is run. Yeah. Give me the prophecy.
Potter, you rotter. Oh, what have you done? So Harry's about to give him the prophecy because they're like, we'll let the others go. No, Harry's like, look, let the others go and I'll give you the prophecy.
Yeah, and he's all like, you're not in a position to bargain, Potter. And then...
give me the prophecy and I'll let the others go. And Harry's like, no. And then they're like, you've got no one, Harry. And Neville's like, he's got me. And Neville like, comes fucking running down the stairs. And Harry's like, fit him in that fucking chair leg.
Yes, get him, Neville. Go on, charge.
But Neville is stopped by one of the Death Eaters, who just grabs him from behind.
Yeah, yeah, and then Bellatrix realises who he is, and he's like, oh, Longbottom, I know your parents. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Yes. Give them a clementine for me. And he's like, ah! Oh, God. So then, yeah, she crucios Neville, didn't she?
Yeah, let's see if he can last longer than his parents. And then Harry's like, there's no choice. He would have to give him the prophecy, and he holds his hand out to give it to him, and Lucius comes up to get it. And then high above, Lupin, Moody, Sirius, Tonks, and Kingsley all burst in.
Yeah, and Harry's like, is that NSYNC? And they're like, no. He's like, ah.
Far too diverse.
And not a single one of them can dance. So yeah, it's Sirius, Lupin, Tonks, Kingsley and Moody.
Yes.
Here they come to save the day.
So yeah, Harry and Neville scramble away. Yeah. Harry gets grabbed by Death Eater and Neville saves him by jabbing the Death Eater in the eye with his chair leg.
I hated that so much. It just upsets me when people go for the eyes or the teeth.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. The amount of times I sort of see like the look go across Tom's eyes when he's like, I wish this was a solo podcast.
No. I thought you were going to have like a reason why it doesn't make sense that he did that.
No, I just think it's
or
gross.
Or something. And I was like, oh, okay. No, you just think it's gross, right? Yeah, and then we get the bit where the Death Eater, Harry sees Moody's eye roll across the floor and he sees Moody's like a bloody lump on the floor, and the Death Eater, who's just subdued him, turns to them and uses fucking Tarantelegra on Neville, making his legs go all weird and jerky.
Yes, and Harry crawls around the side, unzips, and put his pee hole in Moody's eye hole.
Oh, God.
And he's like, I might not get another chance.
I always wanted to.
Like, oh, squelch, squelch. Like our Moody, see to the back of that, eh?
Yeah.
And everyone just sort of like stops and turns around.
Barty Crouch Jr. used to make me do it all the time. I never thought I'd miss it, but I do.
And Bellatrix is like, maybe we're on the wrong side.
Yeah, that's pretty dark, dude.
Oh, what's he putting in Moody's mouth? What is he putting in Moody's mouth? Ah, we have fun. Yeah, so, and then he goes to take the thing from Harry and then Sirius fucking goes, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, steps in and starts, and then while the Death Eater's like battling Sirius, Harry petrifies him.
Yeah, he's like, Sirius. Boo, and the guy goes, ah!
And he runs screaming from the room.
Yeah. And Sirius like, fucking hell, forget having wands.
That's some powerful shit, mate. Yeah.
It's even better when you wear a white sheet. And then you hear Hermione go, yes, I can confirm. White sheets are always better. Fucking hell, it all kind of bleeds into one, did it?
Yeah, it does a bit. Yeah, there's a big fight scene. And Sirius dies at the end.
So Sirius goes like, oh, you've done wonderfully, but let the grown-ups take care of this now. He doesn't. That's what Gary Oldman says. So I think that's a lot of that. So he tells Harry to take the prophecy and Neville and get out of here. So him and Neville go up the stairs, and then he puts the prophecy in Neville's pocket, but because Neville's got jelly legs, the prophecy, like, he rips his pocket and the prophecy falls out and smashes. And Harry sees the ghostly figure rising but doesn't hear a word. And Neville's oh, I'm so sorry.
He's like, fuck it. Doesn't matter. Let's just go.
And then he turns and he sees Sirius duly move Bellatrix.
Yes. And then they hear the unmistakable air horns.
Oh!
And Harry and Neville are like, oh shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, 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 oh. Who let Dumbledore out?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And
that,
no,
yeah.
Seriously, he's supposed to be locked up. He's an awful, awful man.
He's a serial rapist, but by God, he does know how to make an entrance. Through doors, through holes.
People start to run off. Bellatrix and Sirius are the only ones that continue. Bellatrix throws a spell at Sirius and he says, come on, you can do better than that. And then a second spell hits him square on the chest.
Yeah, and then he stumbles over his own feet and falls through the curtain.
Yes, slowly falls through the archway.
Yes, and Bellatrix is like, damn, he ain't gonna be in Rush Hour 3.
I've actually seen that as well, and I totally get that.
So yeah, Harry's waiting for Sirius to appear on the other side, but he doesn't. So Harry runs up to the dais and he's like, Sirius, Sirius,
Sirius,
Sirius, Sirius, where have you gone? And they're like, this is not the time for songs, Harry. And it's like, it's always time for songs.
No, yeah, Lupin's like, I was expecting to have to hold you back. I thought you were going to be more yes. animated than this.
Instead, you seem to have got out okay, you know, doing a weird dance.
Yes, now's no time for a Broadway number, Harry.
Oh, Sirius, where have you gone? Won't you come back if I sing my song? No, Sirius. And Lupin's like kicking his fingers when he doesn't mean to. He's like, I'm sorry, it's just so catchy. Oh, Sirius, come back to me. I promise I'll put you in rush hour 3. He's like, yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, Lupin just grabs Harry. And he's like, there's nothing you can do, Harry. She's gone. Just like Princess Diana. Just like Heath Ledger. Just like River Phoenix outside the Viper Room.
Right, that's it then, isn't it? End of the chapter.
And hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll be the end of quarantine.
Yeah.
But who knows? Oh, there's only one thing for sure, Tom.
What's that?
That in 2 days' time, it's gonna be me. Yeah, boy. Ah.
Nice.
Yeah, so thank you for listening, guys. Please, what do you want them to do? Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at PoolyRedPod.
Oh, you know, all the shit we say at the end of every episode.
I was trying to think, what do I say? What do I say, Tom? I don't know. No, like... email us at poorlyred@gmail.com and give us 5 stars and a review on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps other people find us, helps us stay visible, helps us stay ahead of the curve.
Yes.
Curves are all the rage at the moment, Tom. Flattening them, staying ahead of them. Oh, God. Yeah, I've been Gifted.
Oh, and I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's brother has been Hagrid's brother.
Yes, yes.
Hagrid's brother being Hagrid's brother.
No. Awful.
Okay, so guys, we're rapidly approaching episode 50 of what's our podcast called? Of Gifted and Tom do Vegas. So,
remotely from quarantined isolation.
Yes, we're just doing like gambling in Tom's room, I guess. Gambling and strippers, that's all you need, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So what we want to do for our 50th episode is do a Q&A episode. So what we're encouraging all of you guys to do is to write into us with questions that you want to know about us, about the pod, about our feelings towards Harry Potter, feelings towards life.
Yeah, feelings towards anything.
Yes.
Ask us your questions and we shall bestow upon you our answers.
Yes. You can make them as fun as you want, as invasive as you want. And we'll choose all the best ones. And we'll do a whole episode of us answering them and probably making not a single joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to be episode 50.
Yes,
so
we're going to do a less funny episode to celebrate 50 episodes.
Yeah. So yeah, email us in your questions.
Yeah, email us your questions, poorlyred@gmail.com.
Yeah, and then we'll choose like a bunch of them and then we'll read them out. And that'll be fun for everyone.
Yes, it will be.
Should we do the ending again or just you can tack it on?
Nah, I will stick this in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be too jarring.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Stick it slap bang in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
we might want to do the little tapper, tapper, tapper theme.
Oh, the segue.
Leading into it.
Not segue, segue.
Yes, so the episode doesn't go to Ori.